draw. Call my phone, I ain't call her back. Now she blowing me up. Now I can't go nowhere without her showing up. She tripping. I told her ass from the jump a nigga be pimping. But ever yeah. since I gave her the business, she gone crazy.
What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tariq Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, and you're listening at TariqRadio.com. You can subscribe to this show on iTunes if you're not doing it already, by the way. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ready to chop up some real good game. The phone number for today's show is 818-850-5404. Today's show is brought to you by a new podcast by my dude, Ricky Rawls. That's Ricky, R-A-W-L-S, Ricky Rawls. He got a podcast called Champagne Sharks. It's his take on white supremacy, and it helps black people understand the ins and outs of white supremacy. So it's a very good podcast you need to check out. It talks about the psychodynamics of history, the whole nine yards. So check him out. His show is available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or go to patreon.com/champagnesharks to subscribe to his show, ladies and gentlemen. Now, family, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And I mean real quick. Don't you move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
What's going on, family? It's player season right about now. It's Among Us, so it's time for you to get suited and booted out here so they can start choosing up on you. That's why you got to get your gear game together, and you start off by getting your tie game in order. That's why you need to check out HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. Now, Harrison Blake Apparel, they have all types of men accessories like neckties, bow ties, pocket squares, all that good stuff to accentuate your suit game. They also have monthly subscription packages on the site, and if you use the coupon code Tariq, you can get 25% off on everything on the site. So you need to check out right now, HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. Yo, have you heard of Shiroma Banks? Shiroma Banks is a new black-owned clothing line that fuses contemporary design with Afrocentric sense of style and art. You need to check out their website right now at sharomabanks.com for their fast-selling and affordable designs like the Africana bodycon dresses and the Tribal Galaxy t-shirts. They deliver worldwide all over the place, so go to their website right now, sharomabanks.com. That's C-H-I-R-O-M-A-B-A-N-K-S.com. What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called AshKicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to AshKicking.com. That's AshKicking.com. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispy, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. an evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
What's going on, family? We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. And I'm your gracious host, I'm Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have you guys tuning in. We're on time this week. Man, I was all types of late last week, but I am on time this week, and I'm ready, locked and loaded with the game. Hope you guys are checking out Izm Radio, by the way. Speaking of game, Izm Radio at izmradio.com. We do the show live every Tuesday with my lovely co-hosts, Miss Bree and Layla Lopez. Had a good, fun show yesterday, so go to izmradio.com to check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, this weekend, we're having the backpack giveaway. We're giving away free backpacks. If you are in Los Angeles, if you're in Chicago, if you are in Atlanta, you're going to get a free backpack if you come to the Shades of Africa in Long Beach, California. That's out here in L.A. Shades of Africa, 12 noon this Saturday, August 12th. Come on in, get your free backpack. If you're in Chicago this Saturday, August 12th, 12 noon, go to Culture Connection in Chicago. The bookstore Culture Connection, they have other stuff there too. But go there, get your free backpack for your kids, for back to school. If you're in Atlanta, the backpack giveaway is going to be Sunday, August 13th, 12 noon, at the Nubian Bookstore. Just go on in, get your free backpack on me, family. On behalf of me and Melanoid Nation, let me give props to the Melanoid Nation Foundation. Get your free backpack on us. Come on down, and while you're there, you can pick up some books and look through the bookstores and see what you like to fill those backpacks up with some knowledge. Now, don't use the backpack to shoplift down in that motherfucker. I mean, get you some purchased books and put them in the backpack for you and the kids. Oh, man, so a lot of stuff is going on right now. I was just looking at Twitter right before I started the show. And there was a brother who was shot by race soldiers named Terrence Sterling. And Terrence Sterling was shot. When was he shot? I'm not sure when this. So many of us are getting shot. But Terrence Sterling, I think he got shot in last year, 2016. Now, Terrence Sterling was shot. He was riding his motorcycle. They said he was riding his motorcycle recklessly. And the officer spotted him at 4:20 a.m. in the morning. And he was shot in the back. And I think there was body cam footage. I'm not sure. But, you know, they just found the race soldier who killed him. They're not going to indict him, which we shouldn't be shocked. And people are talking about this on Twitter now. Let's stop being shocked because of that, family. Look, understand, and I've said this a million times, the state of white supremacy we are in now, we are in the genocidal Nazi stage of white supremacy now, where it's just straight up racial cleansing, and they've set the system up to specifically not punish people who are classified as white, especially state-sanctioned people who are classified as white, for harming people who are classified as black. That's just not going to happen. They're not going to punish them. They're going to come up with different ways and maneuvers to not punish them, even if you're shot on film, even if you're shot in the back. Even if they, quote unquote, charge you, they're going to make the bail so low that the police union can get you out, and they'll come up with some kind of loophole to let you the race soldier go. That's just where we are. They've set the system up. It's designed. It's not a flaw in the system. See, we keep saying that it's a flaw. The system is flawed. No, the system is set up and designed. There's no flaw in the system whatsoever. If you are a white supremacist, and if you believe in white supremacy, the system is absolutely perfect. It is flawless if you are a white supremacist. That's what black people have to understand. Don't let nobody fool you. The system of white supremacy, when it comes to murdering us with impunity, is flawless. completely flawless. They have it set up and designed to harm you. And the thing is, today is the anniversary of Mike Brown. Mike Brown was killed 3 years ago today. People are talking about Mike Brown on Twitter and social network as well. And, you know, you got the white supremacists in there using the time-wasting tactic, talking about we shouldn't celebrate Mike Brown because he was a thug who tried to steal a cop's gun. Family, those are time-wasting tactics. Do not waste your time trying to logically go back and forth with the suspected white supremacist about the death of Mike Brown. It's just a tactic to waste your time, because we all know if Mike Brown was killed on film showing that his hands were up, does it really matter? Would they punish Darren Wilson who did it? They wouldn't punish him. Even if Mike Brown was shot on film with his hands up, as we now know, they wouldn't punish him anyway. The case with Terrence Sterling shows us that. The case of Eric Garner shows us that. The case of Philando Castile shows us that. Black people are getting killed on film, and they're letting the race soldiers go anyway. So that just shows proof don't matter. It's I'm white and I say so. So don't waste your time going back and forth with people about the ins and outs of the Mike Brown case. Somebody, one of the writers from Slate Magazine, was kind of going back and forth with me today on Twitter, because I said, well, this is the anniversary of Mike Brown getting lynched. And then this white so-called, I think that's one of them fake white liberal publications. They pretend to be these bleeding heart liberals, I think. Because there is no liberal or conservative. It's only white supremacy. It's the same bird, different wings. And I was talking about Mike Brown being lynched, and this white reporter was like, well, that's a myth. And he had a screenshot of all of these details about the case and the forensics and the trajectory of the bullet and all this bullshit. And I just said straight up, If there was footage of Mike Brown being killed with his hands up, would it matter to you guys? Then he tried to deflect. Well, what do you mean, you guys? I mean, you white supremacy deniers. And we were going back and forth, and I was asking him what should be done about these black people who are being shot on film, since that's a myth about Mike Brown. They like to try to say that's a myth. He didn't have his hands up. He was beating the cop. Well, if you got all the details and the ins and outs and the forensics and all the minute details about that case, then what should be done about all of these other cases where people are clearly being shot on film and the race soldiers are walking away? Then all of a sudden, when you talk that, when you ask them those type of questions, all of a sudden the conversation gets very vague. Well, we need to change the system. Okay, change the system how? Well, we need to do something about the way the court is set up. Okay, do what? What are we going to do about suspected white supremacist jurors being deliberately put on juries to have jury nullification? Well, we need to try to see what we can do about fixing the jury pool. I mean, it's all this vague shit. And this dude from Slate was talking about what Thurgood Marshall, when he was in office, he worked to bring awareness to the problem. I'm like, wait, who did Thurgood Marshall punish? Name one white supremacist that Thurgood Marshall punished for harming a black person. Then he changed the subject again. See, the white supremacists, they're very good at deflection. And when it comes to dealing with white supremacy directly, they start talking in these vague ass terms. Now they don't know what to do. Well, we need to work on it. We need to bring awareness. We need to investigate. All of these vague ass do nothing terms they like to use when it comes to looking at and doing something about white supremacy. We don't need awareness of white supremacy. We know it's there. What's going to be done? you guys have all these details when it comes to black folks pointing out some shit. When it comes to white supremacy denial, y'all have all the details. Y'all got details out your ass. But when it comes to challenging blatant white supremacy that's caught on film that you can't make excuses for, all of a sudden we get the vagaries. Well, we need to look into it. We need to wait for the facts. We need not jump to conclusions. It's all that sucker shit. And if somebody's talking that talk, you're dealing with a suspected white supremacist. And whatever they have to say should be nullified. But the thing is, we have to understand this, family. The white supremacists, they're starting to deputize other civilians, and that's the direction we're going into right now. They're going to start deputizing civilians now, because understand, I'm going to say this a million times, at this point, they're never going to charge or punish. I won't say they'll charge them, but they'll let them go. They're not going to punish no person classified as white for harming a black person, especially if they work for the state. If they are employed as a government worker, meaning law enforcement, anybody like that, they're just not going to punish them. No matter if it's caught on film, if they shoot you in the back, if they shoot your child, they're not going to punish them. Same thing in Nazi Germany. We have entered that state. They're just not going to punish them. So I always say to black people, when you go out, expect to be a hashtag. All of us are walking hashtags. We're potential hashtags. Every person with melanin, you are a potential hashtag when you walk out your house. See, black folks think if we party, dance, sing, clown, act a fool, we're going to change that fact. We think if we buck dance and we coon it up, keep our mouth shut and just play ball, that fact is going to go away. And all that does is strengthen white supremacy, and it's strengthening it to the point where white supremacists who are non-government workers are going to be deputized, and that's happening now. There was a case, I think it was somewhere in Pittsburgh, where another road rage incident where a white dude pulled a gun on a sister, and I don't think they charged him. There's a case in Michigan where this white guy said he got in an argument with his black friend, shot the black guy, got a chainsaw, and dismembered the black man and spread his body all over the place. The white dude was arrested, and his bail is only $100,000. They're sending messages. This is not a police officer, by the way. This is why I don't get too caught up into police brutality. I don't even like using that term. This is a white supremacist regime. It's beyond police brutality. Because all they have to do is let non-police do the killing for you. But the thing is, they're going to start deputizing these people so that they can harm you en masse. And you know something? There have been many cases of, in this week alone, of white people shooting white officers. I mean, this week alone, there's been about two or three of them. In the last week alone, they just caught a guy who was on the run today. They caught this guy a few hours ago. He shot a cop. It was this weekend when he shot him. And he was on the run. And they just caught up with this guy today. I think his name is Ian McCarthy. I think that's his name. Ian McCarthy, something like that. But this was in Missouri. And they found this guy, the killer. He was just walking up and down the road, just wandering. And it still took them days to find this fucking dude. You dig? And you know, truth be told, why you don't see cops shooting white people? Because this guy, Ian McCarthy, he shot a police officer. He was on the run, shot and killed a cop. You didn't hear nothing from the Blue Lives Matter crowd. They found this guy wandering up and down the road, and they arrested him without incident. They didn't shoot him up for riding a motorcycle. They didn't shoot him all in the back. They didn't do all that stuff. Now, one reason why they don't kill white suspects, because they do abide by the code of white supremacy. The code of white supremacy doesn't allow you to do that. But you know the main reason why they don't shoot white people the way they shoot us? And you always see these white killers being brought in alive. The reason why they don't shoot them, because white people will shoot police officers back. And white police officers know this. That's one of the real reasons why they are not bussing on white people like that, because white people have a history of shooting back. White people will even instigate it. There was a cat a few days ago who shot a white officer. He was in a car accident. The white officer showed up and he just shot the officer. This is a white dude who did this. And I think he's locked up. But the thing is, white people, they don't have a history of allowing law enforcement to abuse them or any type of authority to abuse them. They will shoot back at the drop of a hat. They will start ambushing police officers at the drop of a hat if they feel like they're being systematically wronged. And that's one of the reasons why they don't shoot them the way they shoot us. You'll have a Clive and Bundy style situation. Now, they've made a couple of examples out of the Clive and Bundy people, but they will take up arms and go for broke against law enforcement. That's why they don't fuck with white people like that. And the thing is, we're told to just let the law take its course, let the court system take its course. As you see in Minnesota, when there was a black Muslim officer who people feel like he unjustly killed a white woman, you notice you don't see all that, let's march, let's pray. You notice that? You know what you see? You see mosques getting blown up. They blew up a mosque or set off a bomb at a mosque a couple of days ago, and that was a direct response to that black Muslim officer not being charged yet. That was their response. You understand? So other groups don't play that shit. They tell us to be submissive and pray and march and walk and be nonviolent. And the minute these other groups feel like they've been wronged, the violence comes flooding out. And the thing is, we got to be very careful, black folks, because, see, we let people run the trick bag on us all the time. Because right now, people are talking about Ferguson and Mike Brown, and there's a documentary coming out about Ferguson. It's talking about the protest in Ferguson back in 2014. I want to give y'all the name of the documentary. Family in the room, what's the name of the documentary in the chat room? Y'all help me out, family in the chat room. I forgot the name of that documentary that's coming out about Ferguson. And I saw the trailer of this documentary. I'm going to give y'all the name in a minute. I'm just waiting on the chat room to throw me the name. But in this documentary, you know, they show a lot of stuff that was happening in Ferguson. They showed the culmination of the protest and all that. Then the documentary started focusing on some of these gay and lesbian people who came down to Ferguson. And in the documentary, in the trailer, you start seeing these gay and lesbian, quote unquote, activists all hugged up and kissing each other. The trailer morphed into like a gay love story. And we've been warning people about this. Yeah, Who Streets. That's the name of the documentary. Shout out to Shawty Brokers. It's called Who Streets. Can y'all find out who the director is of that documentary? Real quick while I'm talking, family. Love you first. And Shawty Brokers, can y'all find out the director of it, please? So in the trailer, again, they start talking about Ferguson and the protest and injustice and the protest. And then they start showing lesbians kissing, and it morphed into a lesbian gay love story, and that was the whole agenda. They've always tried to use black protest against white supremacy as a way to throw in the gay agenda in order to deter everything. They've been doing that from day one. We've been telling y'all this for years. This is what they were trying to do. That's why they sent all these people down there to Ferguson. All those people that you would see on camera who really got their name from Ferguson. The D-Rays and the Nettas and all of these, that Britney chick. All these people went down there and got their name off Ferguson. They were sent down there. This is why they were clashing with the real activists down there in Ferguson. What's the name? Sabah Folian? Hold on, let me look that person up. Sabah, hold on 1 second. Let me look that name up real quickly while I'm talking. Let me look that name up real quickly. Let me type it in Twitter real quickly, family. Y'all bear with me. Hold on 1 second. I'm okay, there we go. So it sounds like an East Indian person or something like that. Okay, so hold on, bear with me. I'm looking up this Sabah person. Okay, it's a black lady. Okay, Sundance. Okay, is Sabah a lesbian? Because she looked like a lesbian. I ain't saying that's good or bad, right or wrong. Okay, she looks like Gay Lives Matter. Okay, so Sabah Folayan, she looks like a lesbian from her pictures. Hold on, I'm looking up some more information about her. Hold on. I'm just saying, I don't know if she is or not. Not saying she is, not saying she's not. Not saying she is, not saying she's not, but I'm just saying going by what she looks like. Hold on, y'all bear with me. My stream is acting up. Hold on, bear with me for a second. There we go, I'm back on. Sorry about that, guys. The live stream went out for a quick second. Let me let everybody know that I'm back. Hold on, hold on. Refresh page. All right. Had a technical difficulty glitch in the Ustream live playback. So, I'm looking at this lady. She has the short little stud haircut. And I want to know where they got the money to do the documentary. See, y'all got to start asking questions. When you see these random people pop out of here, all of a sudden nobody knows them, because I'm looking at her Twitter page now. She has 785 followers. Now this documentary that has gone to Sundance, that's on Magnolia Pictures, all of a sudden they come out of nowhere and these people are mysteriously backed by somebody, because documentaries cost a lot of money. All right? Understand, I'm working on one right now. And y'all know where the money comes from. It comes from, like, me crowdfunding and my damn pocket. I'm very transparent about where the money comes from when I do films. You dig? But all of these people, they come out of nowhere and they do these documentaries using black struggle, and then they start talking about lesbian and gay issues. Where are these people coming from and who's funding them? Where did they get the funding to do and direct a documentary that's being put out there like that? And it's all in the Sundance and Magnolia Pictures and all that. These people are secretly funded by the white supremacist family. If they're not, show me who's funding them. You dig? And all of a sudden, these people got these decent budget documentaries coming out of nowhere, and they're changing the narrative. You dig? And understand, I was down there. I was doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes when the whole Ferguson thing went out. I was down there very early. I was down there before all the media and the cameras. I was down there with the people. I was down there with the Crips and the Bloods and the folks in the streets. And I wasn't trying to get no camera time. I was behind the scenes doing a lot of shit. And then all these other groups came out of nowhere. And then people on the ground started to be attacked. They were using Shea Butter Twitter and Gay Lives Matter to attack people like me, because That's Netta and D-Ray and all these people were attacking me. And I'm like, the white supremacists are funding these niggas. They came out there changing the narrative of the whole shit. And the activists who are from that area, they did not like Netta and D-Ray and Brittany. They were clashing with these people. They had major, major problems with Brittany, D-Ray, Netta. They had major problems, just like our brother Darren Seals. And what's interesting, this Whose Streets documentary, they did not cover anything about Darren Seals. And I saw on Twitter today, they had like a Q&A, and somebody asked the directors about how come y'all didn't do anything on Darren Seals. And from what I understand, the director said they feared for their lives or some shit like that. I'm going to retweet. Somebody tweeted this earlier. They said that the directors didn't want to say anything about Darren Seals because they feared for their lives. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Because they know that Darren Seals and people like that who were on the ground, the real activists who were down there who had respect of the streets, they were not feeling all the fuckery that was happening and how people were exploiting Ferguson and what happened. As we know, my man Darren Seals literally slapped the shit out of D-Ray. D-Ray went down there and got slapped and really got ran up out of there. But they're making these people the faces of Ferguson. Go look at some videos by my brother Darren Seals. I may find some stuff while I'm talking. My man Darren Seals, who really gave his life to the activism down there, because my brother was killed, and not only was he killed, it was other activists who were killed in similar ways. The day that they announced that they were not going to indict Darren Wilson, another activist got killed. I think it's Joshua something. I can't think of the brother's name. And you know how he got killed? He got shot and burned in a car. And Darren Seals, he died the same way. He got shot and killed and burned in a car. Let me play some audio. I got some audio. This is the late Darren Seals. This was my brother too, man. Real good dude. We used to chop it up all the time. If you look at Darren Seals' Twitter, some of the last tweets he made, he was retweeting me. So we chopped it up. Darren Seals was a real fucking dude, man. Real fucking dude. Real good dude, man. And I hate to see people change the narrative, because he spoke on this years ago, how they were coming down there with the fuckery and how he wasn't with that. This is Darren Seals right here. This is him when he was alive.
Okay. Boy, live again. Live and in effect. What up?
Hold on.
Colt. Twitter fingers. Like my man.
Hold on.
A whole lot of improvement. So I'm on the way to pick up.
He's driving while he's talking, by the way.
We're talking about Black Lives Matter campaigns. But they are the same. Like, they are running together. It's this little gay cult. Twitter fingers, like my man Cap call them, Twitter activists.
So basically, my man Darren Seals, because people kept trying to lump him in with Black Lives Matter, and he kept saying, he always said, hey man, I ain't part of no damn Black Lives Matter. No, I'm from here. This is what I do. I don't know what no Black Lives Matter is. Black Lives Matter, that's like a little gay cult that y'all got coming on down here. I ain't with that bullshit. They're Twitter activists. He's like, I'm out here.
Cause they don't do shit, but tweet while we was in the streets, you know, turn shit up, you know, protest, you know, I mean, certain people was protesting, certain people was riding, certain people was, organizing and, you know, making moves. They was just sitting back tweeting, Twitter fingers, you know. I mean, we all put things on social media so the world can know, but they literally just sat there and tweeted the whole shit. But while they tweeted the whole shit, I mean, you know, white folk, black people ain't on Twitter. Like, how many of y'all on Twitter? I don't know about to be on Twitter. It's white folk shit. So while they tweeting, they playing cat and mouse with the white folks. You know, they racist. They hiding behind fake pages on Twitter talking shit, going back and forth, retweets. It's like a big-ass show. You know, so you got a lot of people sending them money, turning them into stars, Oprah tweeting at her and all that. They calling her a fucking... the face of Ferguson. Don't nobody know who the fuck she is. She ain't the face of shit. Wasn't even out there. When she came out there, she just sat there and tweeted. Like, What you the face of Twitter? That's what I call him. But anyways, man, a lot of people don't understand Black Lives Matter as an organization. They think it's just a hashtag and people just saying, man, anytime white folks are part of it, they put it in the media, something behind it. Believe that. I mean, you got a Twitter, but you don't be on the motherfucker. I ain't never seen you on Twitter. I got a Twitter too, but shit, who uses that shit for real? Like, we use it for promo and little shit like that, but we ain't really using no goddamn Twitter. Anyways, feel free to comment and you know, give y'all opinions on this whole Black Lives Matter bullshit.
Yeah, so that's my dude, man, just breaking it down, letting folks know what the deal was. He wasn't with Black Lives Matter. He was letting folks know that it was a lot of fuckery going on. Why is my connection fading in and out? Y'all bear with me for a second. Y'all bear with me for a second. There we go. All right. Y'all bear with me. Refresh. Letting people know to refresh your page if you're listening on Ustream. That's why my site, the Tariq Spot, is going to be up in a couple of days. We were trying to do the Tariq Spot website on Ustream. Well, this past Sunday, and we had all types of technical difficulties. So I got a whole team. I got a brand new team. We're revamping everything to make everything work. So we're getting that together. Because Ustream be going in and out and all that old stuff. And also in the chat room, if the stream goes out, just refresh the page. All right? If the stream goes out, refresh the page. And MixLR, that's working fine. But like I was saying about Ferguson, man, they're putting these documentaries out and they're turning everything into a gay love story. And all these coons and bedwenches who work at Ebony, they're promoting it. Ebony is basically Gay Lives Matter hub. And ain't nobody shitting on the gay movement at all. Nobody's shitting on that. But the fact that you are placed into black circles to take the focus off systematic white supremacy, you are a damn problem and you are a double agent. The fact that they fund you to put you in the mix to deter any type of thing we have challenging white supremacy, you are a double agent, bed wench, mammy coon, bed bug. Straight up bed buck coon mammy. Because we're trying to challenge white supremacy and y'all out here trying to fuck white supremacy. Y'all trying to open up your coochie lips and gobble down on the dick of white supremacy, and that goes against what we're trying to do. Your focus is getting white pussy on your mouth and a white dick in your throat instead of getting black people collective protection from the ills and dangers of white supremacy, and that is a problem. Nobody's hating on you because you like dick and pussy, if you gay or whatever. Nobody's hating on that. But you coming in the game as a damn pawn double agent, that's a problem. Real activists call that shit out. I call it out. And it should continue to be called out because that's detrimental to what we're trying to do out here. These white supremacists are consolidating their power. This weekend, this Saturday, there's a major, major white supremacist rally that's happening in Charlottesville, Virginia. They call it Unite the Right, but it's really Unite the White. They try to hide their white supremacist views behind right-wing conservative views. No, it's Unite the White. You got the Klan, Richard Spencer, the alt-right. It's a whole bunch of white supremacist groups that's coming over to Virginia this Saturday. And they're getting their numbers up. They're consolidating their power because what they want to do, we already have a race war happening. And the people in charge of the race war are state-sanctioned race soldiers, people who work for law enforcement. The FBI has confirmed this. They want it so that random white people can go out and kill random black people at will. They want it wide open so they can just go round up black people and kill them at will, which is the ultimate show of power for them. That will show their ultimate power as white supremacists when they can go out and openly start killing us in large numbers. That's what they are heading for right now. They're trying to have the Rahoa, the racial holy war. They call it the Rahoa. I've been telling people about this for a long time. We talked about this in the Hidden Colors films. Because the white supremacists, nature is whooping their asses. This is their last stand. And they're trying to go out with a bang. They are desperate and they are trying to go out of here with a bang. Stories are coming out every day about how people in these white segregated communities are dying because of all types of natural illnesses. They're dying because of natural decrease. They're dying off because their sperm count has decreased 50 and 60%. There was another story that came out a few days ago. And this is very interesting. This came out on CNN. I want y'all to look this up. They were talking about how colon cancer is killing white people in large numbers now. And on the story on CNN, they had a picture of two black people. And we were talking about this on Twitter. How are you talking about white people dying because of colon cancer, but on the picture, on the article, it's an image of black people? What the hell are y'all doing? What kind of message is this? But they're saying that colon cancer is killing large numbers of white people. So you got colon cancer, natural decrease, opioid abuse, heroin abuse, sperm count decrease. Over there in Pittsburgh, there was some kind of mysterious disease that was literally skipping over black communities and targeting white racially segregated suburbs and killing the white people there. So you have nature targeting these racially segregated white supremacist communities and taking them out. The white supremacists, and if you live in a racially segregated area, by definition, you are white supremacist. So I'm not talking about white people. I'm talking about white supremacists, because that's who these things are really targeting. These people who live in these racially segregated areas. And if you live in a racially segregated area, you must believe in white supremacy. And now nature is taking you out. And to that, I say ashe to the ancestors. Ashe to the ancestors. Ashe to Ogun. Ashe to Sekhmet. That's karma coming back to hit the white supremacists. Not white people, white supremacists. Because understand, white supremacists love hiding behind white people. Ashe. But the thing is, family, we gotta come up with protection mechanisms, because these white supremacists are desperate, and you're going to have to start learning how to wake up and protect yourself from the bullshit and the fuckery. See, black folks think we can just stay on fuckery lane and ignore everything else. See, we got to get that taste of full fuckery out of our system. It's okay for a little fuckery. A little fuckery is good, but see, we normalize fuckery. We normalize childishness and bullshit. This is why I'm so hard on people when it comes to doing business. When it comes to doing business, I don't like playing games with folks. There's a time to laugh and joke, but when it's time for business, don't come to me with the mush mouth, twiddling your thumbs, mumbling, you don't know what to do shit. No, we're going to handle business. Be ready to handle business. And let me talk to my business people out there, because a lot of folks, you know, holler at me about business endeavors, and I do business with a lot of people. But black folks got this thing, well, let's talk, let's have a 15-minute conversation on the phone and all that. Niggas is just like talking about doing shit without actually doing shit. And black folks got to get off that. Black people think talking about business is doing business. No. You got to start showing and proving. Get off this running your mouth shit. I like people. I don't like to do whole long conversations. I like things to be short and to the point. I need this done. Can you do it? That's a yes or no. I don't need to have a long, drawn out conversation with you about what needs to be done. See, we love playing, buck dancing, thinking that gay sex is going to somehow save us. We think interracial sex is going to somehow save us. We think playing all the damn time. We think being dusty and hood radish is going to somehow save us. And all that does is allow you to be pawns for white supremacy. Speaking of pawns, now y'all know about the situation with Usher. You know, I call it Herpygate. And I talked about this on Ism Radio yesterday, how that the latest Usher accuser, this big booger wolf looking chick. Yeah, I said she's a booger wolf, and I've been going in on it. And I know some people have been hitting me up, concerned trolling. Oh, you fat shaming. Anybody fat shaming this big beast broad? But the thing is, if you come out lying and being on some degenerate shit and fronting, you deserve to get clowned. And the chick who's accusing Usher of giving, well, she didn't say she got hurt, but she said that Usher picked her out of the audience, told her to come backstage, and took her to the hotel and had sex with her. Now, this chick looked like Jason fucking Whitlock. And nobody really believes what's happening. She was represented by Lisa Bloom, that's Gloria Allred's daughter. So, you know, they got the whole ambulance chasing game on lock. But the thing is, my man Jermaine Broadnax, I saw my man Jermaine's Instagram, and he made a good point. He made an interesting observation. What if we're being fooled by the whole Usher thing with the whole booger wolf? What if that woman, the booger wolf, was actually put out there by Usher's team? Because now this Jason Whitlock looking chick, this big back broad, coming out talking about she fucked Usher but she didn't get herpes and all that. So that makes Usher look better, because now it makes people who's accusing him, it makes them look frivolous. It takes away the credibility from people making these claims now. Now that you put out this woman who nobody believes, which I don't either. And the woman is known for kind of lying, getting online saying that she done fucked August Alsina and all these other people. So she's known for lying. But what if Usher's people put her out there in order to switch the narrative up and destroy the credibility of all the other accusers? That would be a cool strategy. That would be an interesting strategy. So I'm just looking at it from different angles. But let's be real. Usher didn't fuck that chick. Let's be real. August Alsina didn't fuck. I mean, the chick came out there. She had a 4X Fashion Nova leotard on. I mean, just looking a damn mess. Talking some shit that nobody could believe. So I'm like, who put her out there like that? But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of folks are calling. Let me get a call here, because we're going to be on for a minute. I got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Let me see if I can get this call. Come on, phone. Come on through with it. I'm trying to answer the call, and the shit is real jank.
Yo, look, Tariq, what up?
What's up? Who's this?
It's Jay from Gardena, man.
Jay from Gardena. How you doing, man?
I'm all right, man. Shit, I wasn't trying to really get too much off topic. I just wanted to, you know, I've been hearing you talk about, but I kind of witnessed it firsthand the other day.
What happened?
I was, well, you know how you've been saying about the whole Latinos kind of identifying themselves as being white?
Right, right.
Man, so recently, I just got hired with the post office, right?
Yeah.
So I'm at the orientation, and we doing the whole part where we're getting ready to fingerprint ourselves and fill out the cards. So the man is talking, and he's like, okay, I need you guys to fill in the race box. But keep in mind, I'm at the post office on Central and Gage, so it's just niggas and Mexicans in there pretty much.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And the man's like, okay, it's time for y'all to time for y'all to fill out the box. We mark the race, and he say, but y'all can only mark three races. You can only identify as three races, and that's black, white,
Native American,
or Asian.
Asian? Oh, not even Native American. Okay. Black, white,
yeah, not even Native American. So, okay. Like me and the, yeah, that's it. So me and a couple of the other black cats, we look at each other like, damn, the Mexicans got to mark themselves as white, but did none of the Mexicans, like nobody questioned it, no nothing. They just went ahead and just marked the Caucasian. So that led me to think like, y'all niggas been identifying as white for a long time anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was nothing. Nobody said, hey, I ain't white. You notice nobody protested, nobody said anything.
Right, right.
Oh yeah.
Right, nothing. Nobody said nothing. It's just the process continued.
Yeah, because they already do. They already, yeah, yeah. They'll lie. Some of them will try to front. But you look at their ID, because I've seen it several times. I've seen people's ID who's supposed to be Hispanic, Mexican, whatever. That shit says white. Or their document white. Says white. So, yeah, they'll front. Now, because they could mark Native American, which is what they're closely aligned to. But, no, they're definitely
right.
They mark white.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm hip to that game, man.
Nah,
I'm definitely
yeah.
But thanks for the call, brother. Let me get back on topic here. Shout out to that brother. Shout out to the brother from Gardena. Ladies and gentlemen. But I want to talk about how the sports industry has become, not even become, it's always really been a slave buck plantation. It's a brand new slave buck plantation. And a lot of people are talking about our brother Colin Kaepernick and how they're doing him by trying to blackball him from the league because he has spoken out about the mistreatment of black people. See, that's one thing in the system of white supremacy, one of the unwritten rules. And he broke the unwritten rule. You can talk about everything as far as race, everything as far as politics, but don't you dare defend other black folks against white supremacy. That's the cardinal rule. If they let you in anything, you can talk about what about black on black crime. You can talk about politics, but don't ever challenge white supremacy in defense of black people being harmed, because they'll use that same system of white supremacy that they claim doesn't exist. They will use that system to shut you down. Just like with social media. If we talk about white supremacy on Facebook, your page will disappear. Especially if you get significant numbers. If you talk about white supremacists on YouTube, your page will disappear. The system that they say doesn't exist, they use that non-existent system on you and will make you disappear if you're on their platforms. And just like our brother Colin Kaepernick, they're trying to make him disappear. They're trying to blame it on everything else. They tried to say, well, it was his skills that weren't up to par, but they just put Jay Cutler back on. They got him on Miami. They signed him to a $10 million contract, and y'all know he's trash. He was wasn't he in semi-retirement? He was washed up, and they brought him back, and he was trash, and they knew he was trash, and they brought him back. There's so many trash players out there that they have no problem with, so it's not about skills. It's not about skills whatsoever. It is not about skills whatsoever. It's about them making an example out of Colin Kaepernick. They come up with every excuse imaginable, but those excuses contradict them on every turn. They say shit about, well, Kaepernick shouldn't be out there. Don't bring politics to the game. We just want to watch the game. We don't want politics. Bullshit. Let's go back to Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler has publicly supported Donald Trump. Go research that. Jay Cutler has publicly supported and caped for Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, they be bringing players all to the White House to do photo ops. So let's stop with the whole let's not be political. That's why a lot of players after the Super Bowl didn't want to go to the White House to be around Donald Trump. Politics is all through sports. Don't let them fool you. Politics is all through the sports game. So that ain't it. And then people had the excuse, well, Miami didn't sign him because he's down there in Miami. There's a lot of Cubans. And Kaepernick had on a Fidel Castro shirt. And you're not going to win any fans that way. Bullshit. That's more bullshit. They didn't overlook him because of a damn Castro shirt in Miami. Most of the Cubans in Miami voted for damn Trump. If we want to talk about a dictator and abuse of power, most of the damn Cubans out there voted for damn Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has shitted on Hispanics. The same people who vote for Trump, Hispanics, he deport their ass. So miss me with the whole dictator with fucked up policies routine, because Trump ain't no better than damn Fidel Castro if we're going to go that route. So the white supremacy denial is their number one tactic. They love coming up with ways to deny systematic white supremacy. They're using our brother Kaepernick, and as a matter of fact, there's a media outlet is calling me tomorrow. They emailed me today. I'm doing an interview tomorrow talking about Colin Kaepernick and what's really going on. They're from the UK. They're hitting me up in the morning. I do a lot of international press about stuff. So I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow. But the thing is, they're just making an example out of him, and they're using Kaepernick to really get all the other black players in line. This is why all the black players, every black athlete in every league should be standing up for Kaepernick. They should be publicly rallying behind Kaepernick, because Kaepernick represents all of you dumb niggas out there who think that they won't pull the same shit on you. They're doing that to keep all of you in line. They are basically saying, hey, play ball and shut up with this money we're giving you. We're giving you this money, and you just shut up and do what we tell you, nigga. And if you talk about race, it better be about what about black on black crime. You pull, when we pull your chain, you bark. They're letting you know, if you're a black athlete, no matter how much money you have, they're letting you know you're still our little Negro slaves. We're going to put this money in your face to shut you up and play ball. Shut up and play ball, nigga. That's the message they're sending to every player. In the 1960s, when they tried to shit on Muhammad Ali, black athletes from across the board came out to support Ali. Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I mean, from boxing, from sports to football, everybody came out. Some of the top athletes of the day, they came out to support that brother. But we have these million-dollar slaves who are afraid to stand up because they have no problem being on the plantation and having the plantation mentality. Look, I know it's hard to get in the league. You're making millions of dollars. I get it. But we cannot be afraid to stand up against somebody being unjustly punished for speaking truth to power. All y'all niggas letting Kaepernick sit out there by himself, you are a damn coon. Your silence is coonery. Letting the brother hang, that is coonery. Being afraid of white daddy getting you, that makes you a coon as far as I'm concerned. Every athlete needs to be saying something, because this represents all of you. Because if they can do that to him for basically sitting down, he didn't do anything wrong. He just spoke out against unconstitutional non-justices happening to black people. You shouldn't be punished for that. You're supposed to speak out against non-justice, unconstitutional targeting of people based on race. More people need to speak out against that. And that just shows having millions of dollars and they can shut you up, and y'all afraid to speak out against non-justice, you're just another high-paid slave. And that's what they want from their Negro athletes. That's exactly what they want from their Negro athletes. I want to play a clip, and this is what they like in their Negroes. This athlete, LaDainian Tomlinson, he was he did a speech, a Hall of Fame speech, a few days ago. Now, LaDainian, I don't know too much about the dude, but I want y'all to listen to this speech. I want y'all to listen to this speech, and this is the kind of athlete that they like. This is a perfect example of the kind of black athlete they like. And it sounds like somebody white might have helped him with his speech. I want y'all to listen to this. I'm going to break this down. This is him giving his Hall of Fame speech a few days ago. And people in the dominant society, they're just applauding this. In this speech, LaDainian Tomlinson gives props to the slave-owning family who owned his great-great-great-grandfather. And he's talking about how proud he is of the Tomlinson name, which is the name of the slave owners who own his family. Listen to this. Hold on.
This is the message I'll leave with you. The story of a man I never met. My great-great-great-grandfather, George. 170 years ago, George was brought here in chains on a slave ship from West Africa. His last name, Tomlinson, was given to him by the man who owned him. Tomlinson was the slave owner's last name.
All right. Now follow this. So Tomlinson is the slave owner's last name. All right. This is the white supremacist who owned his grandfather.
What extraordinary courage it must have taken for him to rebuild his life after the life he was born to was stolen. How did he reclaim his identity, his dignity, when he had no freedom to choose for himself? I grew up on the land of a former slave plantation, and although I didn't know this as a child, it is where my great-great-great-grandfather tilled the soil. A few years ago, I visited that same plantation in Central Texas with my family and stood in the slave quarters where he lived. It's now named Tomlinson Hill.
And by the way, just on a side note, they're showing some of his family members. I don't know if this is LaDainian Tomlinson's mom in the audience. She had like the bunny ruckus blonde weave and some damn contact lenses. So that's one of his relatives. It might be his mom, but she had the colored contacts and the bunny ruckus blonde hair wig. So just throwing that out there.
My name began with the man who owned my great-great-great-grandfather. Now it's proudly carried by me, my children, my extended family.
This nigga just said that his name was given to him by a slave owner, and now it's proudly carried by him and his children. How do you proudly carry a name that was forced on you by a white supremacist slave owner, nigga? This nigga is talking about he's proudly carrying on a slave owner name that was forced upon him. And they're applauding this bullshit. I mean, he's saying this like it's a good thing. What, proud of what? How? I'm trying to understand. Proud of what? Of getting beaten, raped, and forced to fucking work until you die? Proud of what, nigga? The fuck is you talking about? I'm proudly carrying on the slave owner's name. And they're applauding it. This is the shit they like in the NFL. This sounds like the script from 12 Years a Fucking Slave, man. You got a grown-ass Negro up here talking about he's proudly carrying on the slave name in 2017?
P. People stop me on the street because they know me as LT, the football player. But after football, people have begun to recognize me as LaDainian Tomlinson. Not simply for what I did as a football player, but for who I am as a man.
Listen now.
The family legacy that began in such a cruel way has given birth to generations of successful, caring Tomlinsons.
So the situation that began in a cruel way, meaning your fucking people were enslaved, raped, beaten, forced to work for no money. You're carrying out that name, and now it's a successful name because the white supremacists decided to give you a football contract, nigga. And they're eating it up. They love that. They love a buck dancing nigga who's making excuses for slavery. Like, oh, yeah, I'm proud to be part of the slave family. I'm proud to carry on the slave name, massa.
I firmly believe that God chose me to help bring two races together under one last name, Tomlinson.
This nigga said God, and he must mean the coon God, because not no God that I worship or know, brought the slave owner family and the slave that they beat, raped, and put on a plantation. God brought them together under the name Tomlinson so this nigga can get in the Hall of Fame. They brought the two races together. Like, this is like a family picnic. Brought the two races together. A white supremacist wrote this nigga shit. Brought two races together. So if somebody goes in an alley and jumps on somebody and rapes them, well, that's just bringing two people together. I mean, that's really minimizing what the fuck happened. Two races together, and one race is being subjugated, beaten, killed, maimed, raped. But it's for the good of the Tomlinson name, though. That ain't all. Hold on. There's some more coonery here. Hold on. Listen to this, nigga. Now, wait. Before I play this, understand, if you don't know what LaDainian is two shades darker than midnight, all right? Just understand that. Keep that in mind, all right? Listen to this.
I'm a mixed race, and I represent America.
This nigga just said he's mixed. LaDainian is a shade darker than Akon, and this black bastard got on here talking about he's mixed. Nigga, with what? Coon and buffoon? What do you mix with? This Sambo-ass nigga got up here and said he was mixed. Fellas, family, lady, go look at this nigga's picture. What, you mix with oil and charcoal? What do you mix with, nigga? I really want to know what this nigga claims to be mixed with. As black as he is, he talking about he mixed. Nigga, where? You mix with blue and purple? You blue, black, and purple black. What kind of mix with what? All right, that's enough. That's enough cooning. I got to put my Mac and music back on. But that's what they have. That's the NFL. That's the NFL. That's what they want. They want these brain dead, sunk in place, happy to be a slave ass niggas out there giving speeches. When you talk about race, they don't have a problem with you talking about race as long as you sound like that nigga right there. You sound like you're fresh off a goddamn slave ship. That's what they want. They have no problem with you talking about that type of shit where you proud to have a slave owner's name and, we were enslaved, but it brought our families together under the Tomlinson name because I'm mixed. They love that. They eating that coon shit up. They're eating that coon shit up. That I'm proud to be owned by somebody bullshit. And if you stand up for yourself, all of a sudden, They want to blackball you from the league if you don't want to be a part of that coonery. But if you a full-fledged coon, oh, nigga, we're giving you the Hall of Fame Award. We're giving you the Hall of Fame Award for that coonery, nigga. No thank you. What's up, Woke Video? I see you in the chat room. But that type of stuff, man, you don't want to be that nigga. If you're a child, trust me, you don't want to grow up to be that nigga. You know, that sounds like OJ used to sound. You dig? That's that OJ talk. I ain't black, I'm mixed. I ain't black, I'm OJ. See, that's that shit. Y'all fall for that, and they'll turn on your ass when you least expect it. Cosby, don't let nobody fool you. You talking all that slave talk, and you think you're safe because these white supremacists are sitting up here clapping and applauding that shit. They will turn on your black ass at the drop of a hat, and then you have no base, you have no support system or anything. See, with Kaepernick has a support system. We're going to hold that brother down forever. We got him. We're going to hold Kaepernick down as a community forever because he spoke up. We're going to hold him down. But when you own some I's part of the Gooch Thomason's people, I'm so glad the Lord brought the slave owner to come get me. I's happy because now I's mixed. When you talk that coonery, they'll turn on you at the drop of a hat, and you have no base. You have no base to support you. So don't be that nigga. You dig? Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Radio Show. Understand, Tariq spot coming soon, where I'll be doing the live videos, chopping it up, making it do what it do, doing the live streams and posting up videos there. That's going to be the go-to spot for my videos. That'll be up in a couple of days, and you can still get the audio versions of my shows right here on Tariq Radio. Subscribe to that on iTunes so that you can get it downloaded to your mobile app immediately. Go to iTunes, type in Tariq Elite Radio Show, subscribe, or go to TariqRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the book backpack giveaway happening this weekend. Shades of Africa, Long Beach, this Saturday, August 12th, 12 noon. Culture Connection in Chicago, August 12th, 12 noon. August 13th, Nubian Bookstore in Atlanta. Go down and get your free backpack. Go to HiddenColorsFilms.com, HiddenColorsFilms.com to check out Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, and I will holla at you guys this Sunday on Ustream or possibly Tariq Spot.